self-existent God, we give you praise. We honor you. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Oh, hallelujah. All belongs to you. Mighty God, we give you praise. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. God, there is nothing that you need. You don't need us. You elected by grace and by your mercy to include us. Your need of us, oh God, is a choice. You can do without anybody. You are not lonely. You are not alone. You don't need anybody's praise, anybody's worship, anybody's adoration to be God. You are God all by yourself. But you made it possible for us to connect with you. And the way we get to connect with you is in our worship, in our adoration, in our praise. You bring us into the family. And you bring us to a place, oh God, where we can be co-operators with you. All the power belongs to you. And yet you share it. You say, because all power belongs to me, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of nations. Cast out demons. Bring healing to the sick. Father, thank you for the privilege granted us to be part of the family, to be part of your team, to be partners with you in the work of salvation. For without the preaching of the word, people cannot hear. And if they don't hear, how can they come to salvation? Somebody's got to preach it. Thank you for the privilege accorded us now, this high place of honor and privilege to mention your name, to speak your name, to spread the good news. Thank you, Lord, for it. May we never abuse it. May we not take it for granted. Help us, Lord, to stand faithful in every area of living. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you've subdued every power of darkness. You've given us the grace to be conduits through which the word of blessing can go forth. So let it be this day, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you. Made it in this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. I want you that at home to know that we miss you, and if you really want to be here, because I've heard from so many of you, I really want to be in church, and some showed up this evening, you know, and said, you know what, yeah, sure, I can see it at home, but I want to be right in the house of the Lord. I make a commitment to you. That if you are willing and you want to really be here, I don't mind doing a second or third service. I don't mind doing what needs to be done to serve you. If that is what is needed, I am here to serve you. The call is to serve God's people. And as God's priest, I will make myself available to serve you if you need to have other services to do so. Now, that is not a commitment or committing the audio video department or the praise and worship team to be in other services. They're doing more than enough already. All I'm saying is, I will make myself available to preach the word of God, to speak to you. We can do our regular streaming on Wednesdays and Fridays and Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But if we have to meet some more time so that we can minister to you, I'll do so. That's putting it out there. It's the service is available and no sweating. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because I know how important it is for us to be in the house of God. We can be at home, and that is fine and dandy. But there's something about coming together, seeing your brother and your sister, you know, even though you have to elbow each other, give each other 6 feet, just to see there's a warmth about family. You know, and we're family. And I just wanted you to know that. And, you know, all you need to do, if I get a text message, you know, we have that email address, donation@, and it's supposed to be for giving, but it's also for receiving. You can send a mail through that. I will receive it, and I will respond back to you. And if there's enough of us to do it, we'll do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much for wonderful praise and worship this evening. Well, tonight, I want to take us through a passage of Scripture that we reflected on last Friday. It's found in the Psalms, Psalm 37. I want to explore some thoughts with us from that particular psalm. This morning we're talking about steadfast faith and continuing in the Word of God. We covered quite a bit this morning, and I'll be the first to let you know that I know that the messages have been quite long. Yes, and but there's so much to be said, because this time that we are experiencing right now is actually challenging or exposing certain things within us that we need to confront and deal with, because there is going to come a time when you're not going to have the time to deal with it. And one of the key instructions the Lord gave to me a few weeks back was this. He said, prepare my people. Prepare my people. And if you're going to prepare, you got to, you know, Jeremiah says, he says, first thing you need to do is begin to uproot stuff, you know, tear down stuff. And so some of the things I'm talking about, I understand, you know, it might be coming across like I'm poking at people and pushing buttons and squeezing and everything. You know, it might be coming across like, oh, Pastor is condemning me. I'm feeling very condemned. Well, listen. If you don't expose the stuff on the line and bottom line, then you're living in deception and you'll be in trouble. So you got to deal with certain things so that you are faced with the situation that you are facing, and you can address that issue, whether it be a giant or some little thing, that's going to create problems down the line. You say, well, but Pastor, the reason I can't come, is because I got to take care of my family. Great. Think about that for a moment. I got to take care of my family. What if you are here when the Antichrist shows up, and in Mark is being forced on you? How long are you going to resist until you start talking, well, I got to take care of my family? How long are you going to do that? How long are you going to last? So you got to practice now to resist the devil and his mindset so that he can flee from you. If you don't learn how to resist now, how are you going to resist then? Don't fool yourself and think, well, Jesus is going to come before the Antichrist comes. He may not. He might, but he might not. We're such in the season, not that I believe everything you see on the internet, but there's so much information on the internet about, prior to this COVID stuff, for years now, the practice of giving people chips in their body. For years now, it's been happening. And that is going to happen not too long from now. Think about what that means. How are you getting yourself prepared in your faith walk, in believing God to be the God who can do the miraculous, the supernatural? If you can't trust him with small stuff that we're going through right now, what are you going to do then? That's why when the government was offering their stuff, and if you have it, their freebies, I said, I'm not taking no freebies. Why am I going to go for the freebies? I'm thinking that that's going to be my solution. I'm going to learn how to trust God now in the midst of this. Now, hear me, I'm not condemning anybody. Free stuff is good stuff, but understand this. Don't just jump into things because it is available or possible. Use your spiritual noodles to think through and pray through and hear God so that you make the right decisions that is helping you to build up your faith. Because faith has to be built up. Yeah? It has to be built up. You have to be built up in your love walk with God and saying, God, you can do for me what I cannot do for myself. I need your help now. If it were not for God, what will I do? So, That's basically what it is. I'm causing us to be challenged in our thinking so that we are God-centric, not world-centric. Amen? Not that those are words, but now that I said those, it makes sense, and it's a new word. Amen? Being God-centric. World-centric. Ah, glory to God. Amen. Okay. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says to us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusted in thee. He will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him, because you trust in him. And basically, God is saying to us, notice, whose mind is stayed on thee, colon, meaning that the next statement, because he trusted in thee, is identifying or defining or explaining the previous statement. The previous statement being God keeping us in perfect peace because our minds are stayed on God. So trusting in God means that you are staying with God. You're steadfast in your commitment in looking unto Him who is the author and the finisher of your faith, the beginning to the end, Alpha and Omega, beginning to the end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the very beginning to the end, it is God and nothing else but God. Amen? He says, He will keep you in perfect peace. So for the word of God to say perfect peace, there must be imperfect peace. Imperfect peace is the kind of peace that you get when you are wishy-washy. I'm at peace. Oh, okay, I'm at peace again. Oh, God, I'm at peace. God says, let that kind of a person who's double-minded not think he's going to get anything from God. You cannot be in a state of imperfected peace and receive from God. Why? Because the Lord is not your shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, you lack nothing. When the Lord is your shepherd, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you have no reason to be afraid of any evil because you know that God is with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. You know that He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He restores your soul. When you are focused on the author and the finish of your faith, there's no room for that nonsense. You stay focused. You are steadfast in faith. And that doesn't just happen. That happens because you are growing. And you're growing because you are trusting. And you're trusting because you are relying. Amen? You're relying on God. And you're making the decisive decision not to take an alternative solution. When you're with God and you're walking with God, there are no plan Bs. You don't have plan B. You only have one plan, God's plan. We sink or swim with this plan. God said, that's it. Period. Let's go. Plan B. When you start having plan B, you end up with a plan C and a plan D and a plan E, and you become wishy-washy. You become unstable in all of your ways. Don't fool yourself. We read today in the Word of God, it says that certain people are busy praising God, but it's not real, it's not true, it's not deep, it's shallow. Hang around people that are radical in their faith. Radical faith. Radical commitment. Sold out. God seeks to restore everyone. And guess what? He knows you better than you know yourself. And He has promised that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but with every trial, with every temptation, with every situation, with every circumstance, that He will provide a way of escape so you can bear it. I have a sneaky suspicion that that way of escape, it's not for you. that way of escape is to give the devil some room to run off. Because you're so fired up, you get cornered and you are ready to kill whatever needs to be. If it is killable, you are killing it. That devil will be run out of town because you fed up. Get fed up with being terrorized by the powers of darkness, that you are wild in your faith. Hallelujah. You are fired up. Moses saw the presence of God and it was a burning bush. That's the one who lives inside of you. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Psalm 37. Before I go, yeah, let's go. Let's go on. Psalm 37. The word of God says in this psalm, I'm not going to cover all of it, I'm just going to go through certain things. It starts out, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't, and basically it's saying, and it means don't annoy yourself, basically. Don't upset yourself. Don't, you know, get all wound up because of evildoers. And they are evildoers. And if you have the eyes of God, you can see people that are pretending to be doing good, but they have evil intent. Evil intent. But it doesn't matter what bill the enemy is trying to generate. You are not paying the devil's bill, for the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church of God. Amen? Just know that. Have that settled. So don't fret yourself. Don't even get yourself upset about evil workers and what they are doing. And because whatever it is they are doing doesn't concern you. You are standing for the people of God. As a child of God, you are called to represent God. I pray for people that are not in the family of God, and I pray that, you know, therapeutic medicines and whatever else will come into play so that people don't die. I pray for the frontliners. I pray for, you know, I want people to live. And the reason I want them to live more than any reason is so that I have the opportunity and the body of Christ has the opportunity to preach to them so that they have the ability to make a choice on whether they're going to accept God or not. Nobody should die without having the opportunity. So I pray for the people of the world. When I pray for breakthroughs in science and understanding of this disease and whatever else is coming and whatever situations are coming, it's not for me because I don't need it. I don't need to get healed. I live in divine health. I don't concern myself about, you know, 3G, 4G, 5G, or any Gs. I got a G, capital G-O-D, that is bigger than any G. Hallelujah. And I am not of this world, and nothing that man creates can affect me. But, hey, I don't mind, you know, sitting down in a car, relaxing, reading my Bible, and my car drives me. I don't mind any of that. Now, 5G is 5G. But I concern myself because the Bible tells me that I'm not of this world, that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If I believe that, then I believe that God is my keeper. Now, if somebody plans to do certain things because he's an evil worker, God said, don't worry yourself about that. Don't annoy yourself about that. the workers of iniquity, they think they've got power. I'm going to show them who's got the power. Like you sang, led us in singing just a moment ago, all power belongs to God. Belongs to Him. Powers in heaven and on earth, they belong to God. Why am I worrying myself about what you're going to do or what you think you can do or how you're going to do whatever? Plan all you want, you'll fall into your own pit. Oh, Lord, please. Okay. I was talking to us this morning. That's how I started, and I thought the Lord would let me off the hook. But it quickened to me again about what I was talking about in New York. Please, if you are in New York, please, saints, pray. Please pray. So that what is coming upon that city does not happen. If we don't pray, certain things will happen, but prayer changes things. Sometimes God backs off and will not allow certain things to happen. Pray. Please pray. Because certain things are going on in that city that is annoying the heart of God. It's in the leadership. But we can pray. The Word of God says, pray for your leaders so you can live peaceable lives. We cannot just not pray. You got to pray. The Lord says, there is the Herod factor. There is the Herod factor. Herod was busy boasting himself and was stricken and was eaten up by worms. There is the Herod factor. Better get out of that. Anyway. I don't need to say much more. The Word of God says in verse 2, for they shall soon, that's the workers of iniquity, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. They think they're green, but they're withering. Because they're cut off. But the Word of God says, trust in the Lord. So what do we need to do? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. That's how you're going to dwell in the land. Because you're trusting in God and you are doing good. The wicked are going to be addressed. God will deal with the wicked. But what God wants you to do, what God wants me to do, is to trust in Him. And when we trust in Him, He says, good things will begin to happen in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 9. Psalm 37 and verse 9. Again, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So the Word of God is telling us that if we are trusting in Him, we dwell in the land, we inherit the earth. Who are those that inherit the earth? The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 6, it is the meek that inherit the earth. So those that wait upon the Lord, who are serving God, Those who are patiently waiting on him, God says, they get to inherit the earth. The meek are those who have strength, but harness or control their strength. That's the meek. Meek people are not weak. They are strong. They inherit the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth. There it is. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Why? Their mind are staying on God. They're trusting in God. So these meek, the word of God says, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And overflow in peace. They delight themselves. Imagine, you know, a pool of water, and you're just thrashing, swimming, and enjoying yourself, just having a whole load of fun. That's God. God says, you're going to delight yourselves in the abundance of peace. When the world is fretting and worrying and crying and all messed up and confused, you are enjoying the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, surpasses any kind of understanding. There's no way you can figure it out. Why are these people so happy? I don't see what they got that's making them so happy. Have you been annoyed by somebody who's smiling and so happy, and all you can see is a gloomy day and a messed up day, but here comes this person. Hallelujah, glory be to God. You're going to smack somebody. Say, what is so good about today? Well, it's two different experiences. One is just, oh, what a wonderful day it is. And the other person is all grumpy, like they've been baptized in lemon juice and prune juice mixed together, just having a running system. God promises you and I delight in the abundance of peace, the kind of peace that the world doesn't give, cannot give. Hallelujah. I thank God for that peace. You know, there are people who are living in total fear, petrified beyond belief. And here you are, a child of God, at peace. And they look at you and say, you are acting irresponsibly. No! Somebody else is responsible for my life. I don't have to fret and worry about it. My good shepherd is taking care of all the lions and all the bears and all the wolves and all the nonsense that's going out there. He's taking care of me. Why do I need to worry? I go to sleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. Why am I staying awake? For what? You think you're going to pop enough pills to calm yourself down? No, connect with God. That's what you need to do. Your marriage is falling apart. We've just been locked down for how many weeks? 3 weeks? There are people who already, their marriages are falling apart. 3 weeks, they can't handle it. He's home and she's home. Then the children are home. Oh my God, what are we going to do? There are people who've gone all gray, and there's not enough makeup, you know, to mess up the mess up. Calm down. There is a God who loves you, who cares for you, he understands you, and he will give you abundance of peace. And you get to delight in it. That's not rational. God didn't say anything about rationing it. If he's rationing it, then you can talk about rational. He says abundance. More than enough. an overflow of peace. Hallelujah. No worry, no fear zone in your life. God establishing you in your going out and in your coming in. That's a wonderful life to live. I thank God for the privilege granted me to be part of that family, the family of God. Verse 29. The righteous shall inherit the land. I hope you're getting this. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Glory be to God. You get to inherit the land and dwell in the land forever. That is God's plan for you and I, because we trust in Him. Verse 34. What's this? Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee. Ooh. He will exalt thee to inherit the land. That means if you are not qualified to inherit it, He says, because you're trusting in me, because you're keeping my word, you're steadfast connecting with my word, with my authority, with my power, I will exalt you to inherit the land. It says, when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. It says, you're going to see the wicked cut off. Oh, there's a new sheriff in town. God is going to cause you to occupy till He comes. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God is worthy of all praise, worship, and adoration. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 35 says, I have seen the wicked in great power. I've seen them in great power. And spreading himself like a green bay tree. 36 says, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. The guy was so big. He covered everywhere. And I'm looking for him. Where is he? What happened? There are people who've practiced wickedness that have been like they've been Mr. Big Stuff. By the time all of this ends, they'll be out. Gone. And I'm not just talking about secular, the world system. I'm talking about people who are supposedly part of the so-called family of God, but are pretenders. Huh? By the time all of this is done, they'll be gone. Wiped out. I said it way back, and I'm saying it again today. Because the only way you can be established is when you are rooted and grounded in love. Energized, fortified in your inner man, so that God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, can, the fullness of the Godhead can dwell in you, because God dwells in people that are established, rooted, and grounded in love. If you're not rooted and grounded in love, and you are doing your own thing, living a world of pretense, you deceive your own self. Verse 37, it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. He may be troubled right now, but the end of that man is always peace. It says, mark him. Watch. Watch. Take note. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Why? Because his mind is stayed on the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. That's where we started. Verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the expectations of the righteous shall not fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. What does God's word say? In Psalm 37 and verse 7, it says that there is rest in the Lord. Word of God says, rest in the Lord. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. The doing their thing, the prospering in their way. He says, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. He says, don't fret yourself because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Different technology, wicked systems. The Bible says, they frameth evil laws just to oppress. They don't worry about them. Don't fret yourself. In essence, God is saying, don't annoy yourself about them. Don't allow yourself to get offended by them. Just stay in love. Stay in love. Now, that's not an easy thing. I need your shirt. He says, give them your coat too. I need to come a mile with me. He says, go 2 miles. In other words, take control. Take charge. Do beyond what they said. Go the extra mile. Don't let the systems of the world control the decisions you make. Let God, you be in charge. Amen? Hallelujah. So there is peace and rest for us when we wait patiently on the Lord. Again, verse 11 says, there is abundance of peace. Hallelujah. Now let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now think about that a moment. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of a wicked man. No, it says of many wicked. Of many wicked. So you might have $1,000 in your pocket and they've got 10 trillion. And God says, your thousand, the thousand that you got is better than the trillions that they've got. Oh God, I don't think that makes any sense. Where am I going to get my Gucci from? And where am I going to get my Maserati from? And God says, oh, so that's what's going to make you happy? Maserati, a Mercedes-Benz, a Rolls-Royce? A jet plane, that's what's going to make you happy? Then that's become your God. Says the little that you've got is better. It's better because what you have is not, it's not based on the practices of wickedness, deception, stealing from somebody else, oppressing this person so that you can get ahead. Whatever it is that you have, you have because God has blessed you. And when God blesses you, your little becomes much. You know, that which God blesses, he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, blesses it, and you feed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children, and you end up with more than you started with. Because the blessing of God is on it. God multiplies and increases your little. That's why when you know, people who are givers. They may not have lots in the bank account. Oh, sometimes they really don't have much in the bank account. But there's nothing that they need that God doesn't provide for them. Amen? You go to the bank. My bank book is not as fat as yours. But I got the joy of the Lord. I got a blessed family. I got friends. I don't have to date somebody and wonder whether they're dating me because of my money. Say, you love me for me, not because of my bank account. That's a whole lot of other difference. Hmm? 17 says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, that which is they are using to collect and do what it says, their arms shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. God upholds the righteous. He says, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, because I am with you. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. This is how I uphold you. So don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't get overwhelmed with life. I am your God, and I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you, and I'll uphold you. Right hand of my righteousness. See, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholded the righteous. Verse 18 says, watch this. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. That's a blessing of being connected to God. Verse 19 tells us something interesting. He says, you don't get to be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. God will not allow you to be ashamed. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. When there's famine, you'll be satisfied. Glory be to God. You know, I remember, I've told this story a few times, I'm sure. Many years ago, when Mom and I, at that time, we were living on Dufferin, just a few blocks that way, really run-down part of town. And my dad was coming to visit. And we had no money. We didn't have any food. We had a cup of rice, I think. A cup or two of rice. And we had a can of creamed corn. Dad came, no protein, nothing. I went to pick up my dad from the airport, bringing him to the house, and Mama was in the kitchen cooking. And all she had were those things. And she cooked up this rice with creamed corn. And I tell you, no kidding, I don't think I've eaten anything that tasted as good as that cup of rice with creamed corn. How God made that into taste that good, I can't explain. But we're all satisfied and truly blessed in our poverty, in our state of, in the natural state of lack, God was saying, I can make rice and cream corn taste so good that you will eat what, and listen, I've eaten good food. I didn't come to look like this without eating good food. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen food. I was ministering somewhere in, I think it was in Paris. And after the meetings, it took us to a restaurant. I saw food. I saw food like I have never seen food before. You know, you see food and you say, get me out of here. There was so much food. The best of the best fish, the best beef, the best, you mention it, we had it. And they kept on coming. They kept, I don't know how much they spent for the food. But I don't think that they spent less than $10,000 for the food. And it was not many of us. We weren't even many. We were maybe 20 people, if that. We had food like no man's business. You know, when you watch some of the old movies with kings, you know, and there's all kinds of meat, and you have big fat turkeys. But even that did not compare. And in days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God takes your simple and make it so tasty, so filling. That is a miracle, child of God, that you're going to experience in the days to come. That no man can control you because of what they think they can deny you of. You cannot be denied of anything because you're connected with him. God, we're talking about the God who sent even ravens to come bring food to Elijah. That's the God we're talking about. But if you don't stay in faith with him, you cannot enjoy the fullness of what he has available. You got to connect. We're not. Think about it this way. Why are you serving God? You think it's a joke? Just something that you just do religiously, a ritual? Well, maybe that explains why you are where you are. Or you can have a relationship with God. And when you have that relationship with God, things don't matter. Whether you have things or don't have it, it doesn't matter. You have God. The God who created everything, spoke everything into existence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I better move this. I didn't know time has gone so fast. Verse 21 says, you are not a borrower, but a giver. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. In other words, you will not be a borrower that cannot pay back. You will be the righteous who has mercy and gives. In other words, you forgive debt. Yes. Someone said, I receive that grace. Amen. Receive that grace to be a giver, extending mercy. Say, you owe me nothing. Just go. Don't worry. It's all right. God is good. That's a good place to be. 23 tells us that our steps are ordered of God. The word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Steps of a righteous man, they are ordered. Now that's an interesting statement, ordered. In other words, they are planned, they are put together by the Lord. But when you order something, you are receiving something that you don't have. So when the Lord says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, it means that God plans it out and makes it possible for you to live out the life. Amen? And you delight in his way. Praise the Lord. God is good? Amen. And watch this now. It says in verse 31, it says this. It says, the law of his God is in his heart. That's a righteous man. None of his steps shall slide. Oops. You won't slide. There's no slippage. Amen? Because the word of God is solid inside of you. Hallelujah. In referencing that, let's look at Psalm 94 and verse 18. Psalm 94 and verse 18. The word of God says this. In Psalm 94 and verse 18. He says, when I said my foot slippeth, he says, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And God has promised already that when we trust in him, he'll hold us up. He says, when I said, oh, my foot slippeth, I'm sliding, he says, God's mercy. In other words, while I am walking in the way, if I make a mistake, oh God, I think I've made a mistake. He says, God comes there and holds me and takes me all the way. I like that caption of footprints. The footprints talks about this man that was walking with the Lord, and as he was walking, he saw two steps going. And then when he came to the end, he says, Lord, as I was joining through, I see two steps, my steps, your steps. But when I was facing the difficult times in my life, I see only one set of steps. Where were you? I thought I was alone, and God tells him, oh, no, no, no. Those were the times where I carried you. Those were my steps. I carried you. And that's what God is saying to you and I. God says, I will carry you through the difficult times. Let me carry you. Let me carry you. You know, we see the picture of the good shepherd, and we always see the sheep that's been carried. The story behind that is that's a stubborn sheep. And the shepherd had to break its leg so it doesn't have to run away again and fall amongst the wolves and stuff. Break the leg and then had to carry it. And sometimes God just needs to break your leg. So that's not funny. Well, it's not funny, but sometimes God got to do what God got to do just to get you all across. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's not fret, let's not worry, let's not get ourselves all wound up by the activities of the enemy, but rest in the peace of God that surpasses and passes all knowledge. Amen? There's a passage of scripture that I would like to take us to at this point, but I am going to reserve that to another time. because that's going to take me much longer to bring together. But let's conclude this evening by looking at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. The bottom line to everything I've been talking about this morning and again this evening is very specific and simple. God is saying to us, stay steadfast. Know what the benefits are in following me. If you don't know what the benefits are in the kingdom of God and the blessings that God has ordained for you, then you start to toil around with what you do, and you begin to take the things of God for granted and not serious with it. Understand what God has promised you. And it's God who cannot lie. He's faithful. He's steadfast. And he calls you to the same. And he says to us, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Remember, we talked about the blood today. The blood signifies that judgment has been exercised. That's why the blood is so effective. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He's reconciled all things to himself. Amen? Whether there be things in the earth or the things in heaven, they've been reconciled to him. 21. And you, that's you, that's me, that were sometime alienated, aliens from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We're reconciled to God. But at one point we were alienated. We were enemies in our minds. But today we have the mind of Christ. He's reconciled us. And verse 22 says, in the body of his flesh through death, that's how he reconciled us, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In verse 23, watch this. If, that's a very powerful word, if you're going to be presented unreprovable, you're going to be presented without blame, without guilt, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue, then you're going to be presented blameless, without reproach, if you continue in the faith, and if you stay grounded and settled. Praise the Lord. If you do that, so it is of utmost importance that you and I settle the walk of faith. Have it settled. Because when we do so, everything falls in place. God wants you and I to be enriched in our spirit. Ephesians 3 and verse 16 says that he will grant you, Ephesians 3:16, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, by His Word. For the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17. That Christ, because you've been strengthened in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That Christ may dwell in your hearts because you've been strengthened with might in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What faith? The faith that comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That ye being present tense, continuous, rooted and grounded in love, 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, 19, and to know the love of Christ because you've been strengthened in your inner man by the word of God. Know the love of Christ. So the word of God is what causes you to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness. That you might be filled with all the fullness. That ye might be. Might be. That's not automatic. That happens because you've been first and foremost strengthened in your inner man. You're not strengthened in your inner man? That is not your promise. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. 20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. What's that? Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We say, Pastor, well, I don't know if God will cause the little that I have to take care of my family. He says, I will do exceeding abundantly above anything that you dare ask or think. Whatever you will believe God for, God says, I will top it. So be rested in the peace of God and know that God is more than enough. He is your present help in the times of trouble. If you receive that today, then truly you're blessed. Remember, it is not positive thinking that we're talking about here. We're talking about God's faith, His faith, operating in you and through you. And what is this faith all about? God's faith is God's confidence in Himself. Amen? God's faith is confidence in Himself. God knows what He can do. And believe me, He can do beyond what you can ever imagine. So just rest. Just trust Him. Be encouraged today. Be at peace today. Know that God is for you and with you and by you and working through you. And if God be for you, who and what can be against you? They may try. They may gather themselves together to try to trip you up, but they will fail. Judas will always die before Jesus dies. But Judas will always stay dead, but Jesus will rise again. And when you believe God, it doesn't matter how many times you fall, you rise again. You may trip so many times, but you end up at the end peaceful. Let the love of God captivate your heart today. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? You say, God, I need you in my life. I've heard your word today. And I've heard that you have a plan for my life that is greater, that is better, that's so awesome, that's beyond anything I can come up with, beyond anything any man can come up with. I don't know you like I should, but I know that I can start knowing you today. So, Lord Jesus, accept me into the family. Forgive me every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make me a new person. I want to grow in love with you. Help me, Lord, to know you. I believe you died for me. You were raised for me. You ascended for me. And you sit at the right hand of the Father for me. May I be there with you now. Amen. And amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We love you. We celebrate the goodness of God in your life. And we testify of good things concerning you today, knowing that God, the awesome God we serve, loves you perpetually and perfectly. Enjoy the new life in God. And if you slid in another direction, God's hand is upholding you now and restoring you. Receive your restoration, knowing this, that the love of God has never been broken off of you. It's always been with you. All you need to say today is, God, I'm coming home. I promise you, He's waiting, arms wide open, to receive you. He loves you that much. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And we look forward to seeing you this next Wednesday. And my commitment is still on the table for those who are part of the Glory and Peace family. If you want to have another service, willing to come other times, I am also willing to come to minister to you so that you have that body experience, because I know so many of you are feeling, you know, disjointed there, and I don't want that. I want you to feel connected. Stay connected in the Spirit with God. But we also know that God's word says we should be assembled together. So, if you want more, I'm willing to give you more. That's why I'm here, to pour into your life and help you be everything God says you can be. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord, and see you next time. Love you.